Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Shishi Vrindavaneshwari Radharani Ki Jai, Gokula Ranjana Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 19, The Lord Instructs Srila Rupa Goswami, Text Number 181. Satvika Vyabhichari Bhavera. Of Satvika and Vyabhichari. Of Satvika and Vyabhichari with Stai Bhava. Milane by mixing. Krishna Bhakti Ras is the transcendental mellows of devotional service to the Lord. Haya become Amrita Nectarian. Nectarian. Ashvadane. In tasting. Satvika Vyabhichari Bhaver Milane. Krishna Bhakti Rasa Haya Amrita Ashvadane. Sorry, translation. When Lord Chaitanya is telling Rupa Goswami, when the higher standard of ecstatic love is mixed with the symptoms of Satvika and Vyabhichari, the devotee relishes the transcendental bliss of loving Krishna in a variety of nectarian tastes. Please repeat. When the higher standard of ecstatic love is mixed with the symptoms of Satvika and Vyabhichari, the devotee relishes the transcendental bliss of loving Krishna in a variety of nectarian tastes. So this chapter is Rupa Shiksha, instructions to Rupa Goswami. And it's in Prayag, and Dash Ashvamedha Ghat, for 10 days. Lord Chaitanya's instruction to Rupa Goswami. And Prabhupada said this became the basis for Nectar of Devotion, which is our seminar here. Actually, we read this. And Lord Chaitanya starts off in a very systematic, simple fashion. He starts by explaining that there are innumerable living entities in the material world. How many? Innumerable, okay. And very systematic. Some walk, some fly, and some swim. Yeah? In the sky, on the land, in the water. Some walk, some fly, some swim. Okay. Out of those who are walking, I'll say so, some are moving and some are immoving. Starts off with that. Some are moving, movable, and some are immovable. Amongst the movables, there's the walking, flying, and standing, and swimming. Amongst the walking guys, there are animals, insects, and people, human beings. Amongst the human beings, some are civilized and some are uncivilized. Amongst the civilized ones, some are following some acharya, some great preceptors, saint like that. But most of them only follow a name only. I'm a Hindu, I'm a Muslim, I'm Catholic, I'm Christian, but they don't follow any of the rules and regulations. Okay. Amongst those who are following the rules and regulations, out of all these innumerable living entities, most of them are following because they want some kind of gratification from their religion. They want a nice, stable family life. They want, you know, a nice, stable government. They want to enjoy good food, good clothes, you know, prestige. So they follow religion. Okay, out of those, some of them actually realize that the purpose of religion is Apavarga, dharmasya hi apavargasya narto gatayo pakalpate nartasya dharmaya kantasya kama lobaya rismataha. Apavarga is the real purpose of following dharma, not to get economic development or from that to get sense gratification. So in that condition, which is very rare, then brahmande brahma tekon bhagyavan ji guru krishna prasade pai bhakti lada bij. They can actually take advantage of this seed of devotional service. Same examples in the Bible, no? Christ says that the Son of God is throwing out seeds everywhere, like that. You know? But some of them land on the rocks, and they sprout and they die almost immediately, you know, because they're lying in the rocks, they can't take any root. Some of them they land on soil and they begin to grow, but it's not very deep. So after growing a little bit, they die, like that. So the same example, Lord Chaitanya is giving, that some people, especially these people who are actually in a liberated condition, they're free from all these desires for this and that, because if we always have these desires, we can't even understand the idea of love of God. You know, what is this? These Hare Krishnas, I can't understand what they're saying. What are they talking about? Where can I get a cigarette? How many kinds of beer do you have in Brussels like that? Yeah. How many restaurants are there? You know? So somebody who's actually he's finished with all this variety, you know, kinds of beer like that. That's on the air. I'm thinking that because on the airplane before it landed, it had this little glorification of, you know, Brussels, you know, the capital of Europe, like that, so on. And the little guy urinating into their mascot is some small child urinating into the fountain. That's the their famous symbol. You know? And they said that 130 or I can't remember, it's 130 or 230 kinds of beer. Like that, you know. So after maybe 15 or something, you get, you know, if you're intelligent, without even having to drink 15 kinds of beer, you give it up, like that. But to speak of 230. Maya has an unlimited number of pleasures, right? Maya has an unlimited number of pleasures, but they're all temporary, yeah? Yeah? But they're all unlimited. So even though she gives you one, what about this? And you go, oh, okay, you try that, but you finish. He says, well, what about this one? Oh, you try that, you're finished. Well, what about this one? I'm finished with that now. I'm finished with that one now. But she has unlimited number like that of temporary, unsatisfying experiences. It's quite a job, you know. So somebody finally begins to figure this out. I mean, before I was initiated, I was living in the temple in San Francisco, and one purport Prabhupada says, there is an unlimited number of varieties of sense gratification, and nobody can have them all. Okay. Unlimited number of varieties of sense gratification, and nobody can have them all. Because, for example, you go to some ice cream store. United States, it's Baskin-Robbins, big chain. They have 31 flavors like that. So every day of the month, you could have a different flavor. And then they add in like some special flavors they manufacture, you know. So if you go in there, you want all of them. Oh, I want all of them. Which one do I take? And so you're suffering. So Prabhupada says that nobody can have all of them. So I heard that, and it was such a big relief for me. Oh, my God. You can never become gratified, you know. But you come to this conclusion that, yeah, I cannot become gratified in the material world. So you're apavarga. In that condition, when the bija comes, then you're ready to receive it. You're ready to, like, take advantage of it. And so then Lord Chaitanya is describing the different stages, and it starts to grow. What is the water? What is the water for the bija, the seed? Huh? Hearing and chanting. Hearing and chanting, like that. And maybe again, you come to some festival, and you somehow you're free from these things, Janmashtami. You have a really intense experience of like what it was like when Krishna has actually appeared, how Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda were feeling, something like that. Some little experience, transcendental experience like that. And you keep remembering that, and you're reading about Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda and chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Jaya Krishna Balaram. So you're watering that, no? Yeah. And it starts to grow like that. But then what happens? No problems? It just grows and goes back to Godhead? Huh? Yeah, there's just weeds, you know. And then if you see that, if you're planting something, right, it's growing. But all these weeds, they, Spanish, you know, mal hierbas, all these bad things are growing. And they can take all the water, actually all the water, all the hearing and chanting, which is for your bhakti lata creeper, they can take it all. This can be a desire for fame as a devotee. I want to become a famous devotee. Or a desire for, you know, sense gratification, eat good food, have nice company. Jayananda said one time, ISKCON means eating and sleeping in the best of company, right? He said, just eat prasadam and sleep in the brahmacharya ashram. You have no problems. Right? Or brahmacharini ashram. No problem. Well, in Lima, Peru, it's not real common, but you see it sometimes. These girls have a shirt that says, no boyfriend, no problem. Like that, yeah. No boyfriend, no problem. Yeah. So, okay, yeah, whatever situation. But this is you know, the situation that we come to a spiritual life and we want fame, we want sense gratification, we want mystical powers. You start doing book distribution, you discover these mystical abilities to control people's minds and like take their money and stuff like that. This is, you discover these things, you know, so many subtle things. Okay, mystical powers, sense gratification, prestige. Or mukti, peace, liberation. Oh, Prabhu, I just want peace. I want, you know, okay. But these are all like, you know, bukti mukti. Well, some kind of witch, you know, who's confusing us like that. So we're desiring all these things, and we're getting them. And they're like weeds that are growing along with our real desire to serve Krishna. And they can take all the water. You know, we're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. There's one ashram in San Francisco. And after Prabhupada was having success with the Maha Mantra, their leader, guru, started also having his disciples chant Hare Krishna. And they're like, you know, more rich, upbeat people. Like if you go on Saturday night in front of the ashram, there's always BMWs parked out front. So they're kind of like, you know, more like a rich guru type thing. And inside they had a big hall, maybe like twice as wide as our room here, maybe like about four times as long. And the end is, it's all dark, you know. And the end is a big picture of their guru's face, like as big as the wall here, like that, you know, his face. And all the men, women are chanting, all women on one side, men on the other. And all the women are chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And all the men are chanting, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. How nice. They're watering the weed, watering the seed. Yeah. Because what their guru taught them is that all the women are telling the men, all the men are telling the women. How's it going? All the women are telling the men, you are Krishna, you are Krishna. Remember, you are Krishna. And all the men are telling the women, you are Rama, the goddess of fortune. You are the goddess of fortune, remember. So they go back and forth like this. Jenny, you are God, you are goddess, you are God, you are goddess. You know, for I don't know, some time like that, you know. So, it's taking all the water, you know. And after some time, if you go on like this, it becomes so big that when you take the weed out, it takes everything else out with it, like that. Because it happens, you know. So you have to, he says, you have to get these things out early, right? Get them out early when they're small. Otherwise, again, it becomes such a part of your service. You know, your service is being famous. I know devotees like that. Their service is being famous. That's like their service, you know. So it happens, the funny comes out. My gosh, it's just, it's hard for anything to survive, you know. So he and of course the most difficult of all these things is the mad elephant offense, hati mata, and that is Vaishnava aparad, offending the devotees, especially offending the pure devotee. And the purport Prabhupada says this doesn't mean only just like, you know, offending the spiritual master, a pure devotee, but it means also not even following his instructions. The spiritual master is so kind; he comes to this place to give us this advice. And what to speak of, like, you know, being aggressively offensive, we just don't follow his orders, that's Vaishnava aparad. Wow, yeah, just not to follow Prabhupada's instructions is actually, you know, the mad elephant offense. Yeah. So how do we remain protected? How do we keep protected from all these weeds and mad elephants and everything else? You know? What do you do? Yeah. Huh? Yes, sadhu sangha and following the regular principles. So we should surround ourselves by devotees. Devotees. Always stay in the middle of devotees like that. I have one god brother. He's been distributing books the whole time. He's also had problems with this and that, you know. But yeah, he was married. Then his wife, I guess, she never got remarried after that. She's married before. They married him. And he kind of separated and was involved with other ladies and other women. And then his son was married to a devotee. Then they got divorced. And his son's former wife married another devotee. And everybody's, you know, running around like this. And he says, but, you know, somehow or other, it's all with Krishna, like that. Even more bizarre example, I had one disciple, both his parents were functional alcoholics. They could go to work, but they had always emotional problems. And, you know, so he grew up in this environment of, like, anger and frustration. He was about 40 years old. So he was in the temple, and going on like this, but sometimes it was difficult with the cooking for the restaurant and conflicts with the devotees. So he was smoking marijuana. So finally the temple president caught him one time like that. He was a heavy president like that. He said, "Come to my office." You know, so he went to the office. He was terrified. Oh, my God. You know, he's going to kill me, you know. And then the president said, "Where do you get this stuff? Where do you get this marijuana?" And he said, just spontaneously, he responded, "Prabhu, I only smoke with Prabhupada disciples." Like that. It was just, the president is looking at him and just breaks into hysterical laughter. It finally calms down. He goes, "All right, you're a devotee, okay. But, you know, so this is our situation. So, I've been saying this, is somehow or other, you just stay in this movement and don't offend anybody. Accept your fallen condition. Try your best. And he said, there's so much mercy in this movement. It's unbelievable, like that. So yeah, surround yourself with devotees, you know, and then follow the principles like that, which happens almost automatically if you're surrounded by devotees. And then we'll be freed, you know, from these problems. And we'll be able to see them right away, even when they're little like that. Don't worry, devotees will tell you. They'll tell you, like, when you're having, "Prabhu, you're arrogant like that. Thank you. Oh, you're becoming too, you know." Yeah, but with association with devotees, we can see these things when they're small, you know? And then we can take them out like that. Ah. And then what happens? The creeper keeps on growing. And you go through heavenly planets, you develop mystical powers, you develop, you know, incredible sense gratification. You go through Maharloka, you start developing subtle, you know, compassion, all these great, you know, divine qualities, you know? And then finally, Brahmaloka, and it goes out the material. And then finally, it takes shelter, you know, at Krishna's lotus feet. And then these different fruits start to come, finally. Different emotions and sentiments like that. So, Lord Chaitanya, a few verses earlier, where is it? He describes it here. Yeah. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now somewhere here, you can find it, yeah. So he says, now I'll describe this in detail to you, the fruit and how it's manifesting like that. So where we are now is where he's describing these different aspects of prema and how it's developing in different ways. Satvika via bichari babir milane Krishna bhakti rasi hoy amrita ashvadane. When the higher standard of ecstatic love is mixed with the symptoms of satvika and via bichari, the devotee relishes the transcendental bliss of loving Krishna in a variety of nectarian tastes. These tastes, next verse, yachi dadi sita grhita maricha korpura milane rasala haya amrita madura. text number 182. These tastes are like a combination of yogurt, sugar candy, ghee, black pepper, and camphor, and are as palatable as sweet nectar. Bhakti Beda, Rati Beda, Pancha Parakara, Shanta Rati, Dasya Rati, Sakhi Rati Ara, Vatsalya Rati, Madhurya Rati, A Pancha Vibeda, Rati Bhede, Krishna Bhakti, Rasi Pancha Beda. According to the devotee, attachment falls within five categories of Shanta, Dasya, Sakhi, Vatsalya, and Madhurya, Rati. These five categories arise from the devotee's different attachments to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The transcendental mellows derived from devotional service are also of five varieties. Purport. Srila Prabhupada. Shanti Rati is described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2, 5, 16, 17, and 18 as follows. Manase nirvikalpatvam shama iti abhidiyate. Quote, when one is completely free from all doubts and material attachments, he attains the neutral position called shanta. And it's in more Sanskrit, or Bengali, Sanskrit. The shanti rati realization of Krishna is in the neutral stage between the conception of impersonalism and personalism. This means that one is not very strongly attached to the personal feature of the Lord. An appreciation of the greatness of the Lord is called shanta rati. This is attachment not to the personal feature, but to the impersonal feature. Generally, one in this stage is attached to the paramatma feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridayeshe arjuna tisthati brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra rudrani mayaya. Bhagavad Gita 18:61. Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated on a machine made of material energy. End quote. On the strength of this statement from Bhagavad Gita, we can understand that in Shanta Ras, the devotee sees the Lord's representation everywhere. Dasya Rati is explained in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2.5.27 as Sanskrit. When the Supreme Lord and his localized Paramatma aspect is appreciated and a great devotee understands his subordinate position, not only does he surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but due to his subordinate position, he wishes to render some service and thus become favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A devotee in the Shantarati is not very much willing to render service to the Lord, but a devotee in Dasya Rati voluntarily wants to render service. Due to this attitude, the devotee in Dasya Rati realizes the Supreme Personality of Godhead more fully than the devotee in Shantarati. He considers the Lord to be a worshipable object, and this means that his attachment for the Lord increases. In the Dasya Rati platform, a devotee is attached to rendering service to the Lord, and he is detached from material activities. The Shanta Rati is neither material nor spiritual, but the Dasya Rati is actually on the spiritual platform. There is no attachment for material things on the spiritual platform. A devotee in Dasya Rati has no attachment for anything but Krishna's service. Sakya Rati is described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2.5.30. Yeshu Tulya Mukandasya. According to the opinion of advanced devotees and learned scholars, a devotee in Sakya Rati feels equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is a relationship in friendship. Due to having a friendly relationship with the Lord, not only is one free from material attachment, but one believes in equal dealings with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is called Sakya Rati. The Sakya Rati devotee is so advanced that he treats the Lord on an equal level and even exchanges joking words. Although one is never equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Sakya Rati devotee feels equal to the Lord. Yeah. And he does not feel guilty. He does not feel guilty because of this. Actually, it is offensive to consider oneself equal to the Lord. The Mayavadis consider themselves equal to the Lord. But such feeling entails bereavement because they are material. The Sakya Rati, however, is a feeling of experience in the mind by a pure devotee. And he is eternally related with the Supreme Personality of God in that feeling. Okay. But Salya Rati is described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2.5.33. Gauravo ye harer asya te pujao iti vishrutaha. When a living entity is situated in the platform of Vatsalya Rati, he thinks of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his childhood feature. In this feature, the Lord has to be protected by the devotee. And at this time, the devotee takes the position of being worshipped by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The feelings of paternal love are called Vatsalya Rati. When the devotee is situated on this platform, he wants to maintain the Lord like a son, and he desires all good fortune for the Lord. He offers blessings to the Lord by touching his feet and head. Madhurya Rati, or attachment in conjugal love, is described as follows. Mitoha rare mrigakshascha sambhogashyadikaranam. The conjugal relationship is experienced between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the young damsels of Rajabhumi. There's three of them up there right now. And due to their conjugal love, they continuously exist in eight kinds of remembrances called Madhurya Rati. This intimate relationship brought about by conjugal love produces movements of the eyebrows. Glancing. Sweet words and exchanges of joking words. So, in the Nectar of Devotion, chapter 16, it talks about the beginning. We're still talking about Raganuga. And it says here, spontaneous love of Krishna, as exhibited by the Vrishnis and the denizens of Vrindavan, is eternally existing in them. In the stage of devotional service where regulative principles are followed, there is no necessity of discussing this love. Okay. Yeah. That's why it's confusing. For it must develop of itself at a more advanced stage. Persons desiring to follow in the footsteps of such eternal devotees of the Lord as the Vrishnis and Vrindavan denizens are called Raganuga devotees, which means that they are trying to attain the perfection of those devotees. These Raganuga devotees do not follow the regulative principles of devotional service very strictly, but by spontaneous nature, they become attracted to some of the eternal associates such as Nanda or Yashoda. And they try to follow in their footsteps spontaneously. There is a gradual development of the ambition to become like a particular devotee. And this activity is called Raganuga. We must always remember, however, that such eagerness to follow in the footsteps of the denizens of Braja is not possible unless one is freed from material contamination. In following the regulative principles of devotional service, there is a stage which is called anartha nivritti, which means the disappearance of all material contamination. Sometimes it is found that someone is imitating such devotional love, but factually he is not freed from anarthas or unwanted habits. It has been seen that a so-called devotee proclaims himself a follower of Nanda, Yashoda, or the gopis, while at the same time His abominable attraction for mundane sex life is visible. Yeah. Such a manifestation of divine love is mere imitation. Hmm? What time is it? Okay. And has no value when one is actually spontaneously attracted to the loving principles of the gopis. There will be found no trace of any mundane character contamination. Therefore, in the beginning, everyone should follow strictly the regular principles of devotional service according to the injunctions of the scriptures and the spiritual master. Only after the stage of liberation from material contamination can one actually aspire to follow in the footsteps of the devotees of Vrindavan. So Prabhupada is saying even at the level of Raganuga Bhakti, right? We have to be free from these things before we can actually understand the different combinations and experiences. Or to speak of actually a Prema Bhakti. You know. But Prabhupada says actually in this stage we should appreciate that there are varieties of loving sentiments on the spiritual platform. Like that. And then trying to understand how they all fit together and everything else. Even to try and do it analytically is a little bit difficult because different combinations and different terms for different things happening at different times. And give the example, if you go to the sea coast, you know, it'd be a very, very, very beautiful beach with beautiful rocks and things like that, and the waves come in. But sometimes some wave is still going out when some wave is coming in. They hit and produce these kind of effects, and they don't sometimes. And they go up on these shelves and then come down. And Sarupa Goswami is trying to describe all these things of Anubhava, Vibhava, Sattvika Bhava, Vyavichari Bhava, Stai Bhava, you know, Shantarati, Shravanam, Kirtanam, and give us a understanding of them all like that. So it's not simple. You know, if chemistry or biology is a science, what to speak of theology, right? So it's the most sophisticated thing like that. But, you know, Rupa Goswami, Lord Chaitanya is giving Rupa Goswami, he's giving us some idea where we can appreciate the different levels, what's happening. And especially that you have to get Shantaras first. Prabhupada says in Nectar of Devotion that some people say Shantaras is a mellow and some people don't accept it as a mellow. He said, well, whatever it is, it's the basis of everything else. Right? There's nobody who has more Shantaras than the gopis. Right? Prabhupada says even the gopis, when they start to think of Krishna, the first thing they think of are his lotus feet, like that. You know, if you want to build a very high building, you're going to have a deeper and deeper foundation. Right? Like that. One story, two stories, okay, simple foundation. But if you want to go all the way up to Krishna's smiling face, then you've got a very solid foundation. Your detachment from matter, Shantaras, and it has to be so intense like that, the more you go up like that. So we're not denigrating Shantaras. It's a very elevated position. It describes people like this, they eat very frugally, they avoid all the pleasures of society, and always focus their mind on Krishna. And then other things can develop like that, you know, can reawaken very naturally from that position like that. So yeah, we're engaged in devotional service, and sometimes, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we may get some experiences of these things like that, some feelings, some sentiments. We may, you know, see Radharani's aspect for one moment and how she's this like personified sentiment. Yeah, they give us example that, again, Krishna's not surprised that all the girls love him or are attracted to him. Why not? His daddy's rich, like that. He's good looking. He's really good at sports. He's funny. He has good character. Like, yeah, so it's normal that all the girls like me, you know, like that. You know? But Radharani is a fanatic. You know, when she sees him like that, she just becomes paralyzed and starts hiccuping or something. Hiccup, like that. And so Krishna's looking at her with his friends like that, you know. My God, you know. So he can't understand, you know, her reaction is even Krishna can't understand it. I know I have good qualities, but this is ridiculous. Like that, you know? Lalita, Vishaka, you know her, like what is this, you know? So then they try to explain to him in a confidential place, and that's Navadvip, you know, like that, where they incarnate as Ramananda Roy, you know, Subdamadar, and try to, you know, let Krishna appreciate how is it that Radharani feels like that, you know, so on. So, very fortunate, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we may get some experience of this every now and again like that. You know? And then we should try and cultivate that. But depending on most of us, probably it's, you know, we're in the level of Vaidhi Bhakti, right? and we're going up, and we begin to see these things, then he'll start to explain the level of Baba Bhakti, how at that point we can actually, you know, you have to ask somebody, how do you do Baba Bhakti? That means you're not on the platform of Baba Bhakti. Yeah. There is no how to do it on the platform of Baba Bhakti. How to do it is in the platform of Vaidhi Bhakti, rules, regulations, process, system. On Baba Bhakti is this, you're already tasting it, relishing it. Like you ask somebody, Prabhu, how do you enjoy the Sunday feast? Somebody just to dig in. Like that. Taste something like that. Yeah, okay. Ah, okay. Like that. Ah, a little more salty there. Ah, some sweet. Ah, a little more bitter like that. So at that point, Baba Bhakti, you're already, you know, tasting it, relishing it. And so it's spontaneous. I didn't speak of spontaneous. You're past spontaneous devotional service. Now you're in the level of ecstatic devotional service like that. And so you have to, you know, so in Baba Bhakti's section of Nectar of Devotion, then what is there? There's a list of all of Krishna's qualities and little descriptions of each one. And that level is for relishing. You know, David Haberman, who wrote a translation of this, said he was bothered by all these things. Why are all these things there? And he began to realize it's not for understanding, you know, it's for relishing. At that point, you're reading the qualities of Krishna. He's very kind to old people. He's an expert judge of time and circumstance. You're just like putting them together like that. Why? Because you know what the goal is. You know, I give you a seed. Okay, I got a seed like that. It came from Afghanistan. Wonder what it is. You know, so you put it in the ground and water it. Okay. It comes up, a little sprout. I don't know what it is. And the tree starts to grow. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And finally you realize, it's a mango. Yeah. So that's Baba Bhakti. Yeah. You can, it's no question. You have a mango, but it's green. It's green. The only difference between Baba and Prema is maturity. Right? It's the same thing, but it's just not, Krishna can't reciprocate it in the stage of Baba. It's not intense enough. It's not like that. And so in the Baba platform, you know what you're doing like that. And it's just a matter of just experiencing different things and with Krishna and seeing how this increases the Baba. So, you know, it says you don't follow the regular principles so strictly. That doesn't mean the four regular principles. That means like coming to Mangal Arati, chanting your rounds or something. Maybe you didn't finish your rounds today because you were engaged in making outfit for the deities. You were just so absorbed in getting it done for Janmashtami that, you know, that you didn't finish all your rounds. But that's in the platform of Baba. And then we won't see any kind of material contamination in the person's character like that. You know? And Prabhupada goes on and explains that even someone on the platform of Raganuga, or to speak of Baba, he still follows these principles like that. You know? Because it's very dangerous in the material world. And also as an example for neophyte devotees. If somebody is on the platform of Baba and is advertised amongst the devotees, it probably means he's not on the platform of Baba. You know? It's a very confidential thing. It's like you have a very nice jewel. You don't go showing it off to anybody and everybody. You're going to lose it very quickly. You only show it to very select people like that. So on the platform of Raganuga or the platform of Baba, you don't keep this, make this public. So many times, Prabhupada says, I have never claimed to be Uttamadhikari. I am just a servant of my spiritual master. Like that, you know? So but devotees more advanced, they can appreciate this and stuff. You know? So if somebody is advertised amongst the common people as a Baba Bhakta or Raganuga Bhakta, he probably isn't, you know, because he would keep this confidential. And if somebody tries to expose him, he would like, you know, chastise them like that. You know, Prabhupada did that. How can you say this? How do you know this? So it's a nice section to read these things about sugar candy and yogurt and these combinations like that. And with help and stuff, you can appreciate. We can appreciate. And to some people, yeah, we're coming to this point where we see how it's actual practical. You know, we experience these things and they're combining together. And actually, we begin to lose our perspective in the material world. Because at this point, you have no ability to orient yourself in terms of sense gratification. Right? You know, you're normally trying to figure out, get grounded. Who am I? What's going on? Well, it's time for lunch. Okay. Or it's like, you know, my girlfriend's coming. And okay, I got my connection to the material world here. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But this platform, you have no more attachment to those things. So you start floating around like, do like that. Oh, now you can start becoming attached to these different processes, Anubhava, Vibhava, like that. So, of course, this platform, somebody, wow, To be an acharya at this platform is what, you know, you have to come down to be a Madhyamadhikari. You have to forget these things. And some people can't do that. So they cannot function as acharyas for ordinary people. In the Encyclopedia Britannica, it talks about Lord Chaitanya, and it says that he was an religious epileptic. Okay? Yeah. Lord Chaitanya was a religious epileptic because he had these fits like that. But these are the greatest scholars in the world. You know, they can't figure out what was going on like that. So Prabhupada was able to control these things, yeah? which you can analyze then. It means he did not have a butter-like small heart. He had to have had a large, a diamond-like heart. Yeah? Otherwise, you can't control the sentiments like that. And then people will think you're an epileptic or something like that, you know, common people. Yeah, you can preach to very advanced devotees. Bhangsi Das Babaji, he looked like some, you know, the afro, you know, he was wearing all his clothes from the street. If you saw him, you'd think he's like some madman, you know, like that. Or we look at that. But look closer, no, he was very absorbed in love of God. So he wasn't acting as an acharya for common people like that. To do that, you have to be able to come down to be a Vajramadakari, act like that. And in some ways, it's very great to be able to sacrifice these things, control them like that. You know? And then some more advanced people, they can appreciate. They begin to orient themselves. And they, reading these things, they go, yes, yeah, okay, yeah, like that, so on. Yeah. So it's my comprehension. Any comments, questions? Anybody here experiencing love of God? We actually would have Mahindra could show examples of all these here in the class. We thought Mahindra would give an example of each one of these, like that. Becoming stunned, tears from his eyes, hands separating by from his body. I want to see what the one where your hands separate from your body by 5 inches, like that. Okay. So Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna Mahamantra ki, Mahaprasadam ki. Back to Godhead. What are you doing?